Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Chicago-based blues guitarist, singer, bandleader, producer, and podcaster, Dave Spector. We caught up with him during the early throes of January 2022 to talk about his new 2021 CD, Six String Soul, 30 years on Delmark. Also, we covered living through COVID and his life and music. He is one of the premier talents on the Chicago music scene and was inducted into the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame back in 2018. He's been all over the world performing with everyone in the world of blues. In 2012, he even performed for President Barack Obama. He's appeared on over 50 albums and DVDs as a guitarist, bandleader, and or producer, with 12 albums as a leader or co-leader on Delmark. He's got wonderful stories. Enjoy this interview.
Hey, thanks for taking a minute out for the show.
Hey, my pleasure.
How is Chicago today?
Balmy, 28 degrees or so.
Okay, that's about right.
Typical winter in Chicago.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've been here in Kansas City. It's been warm just until like a week ago. Like, it was almost 70 degrees on Christmas Day. It's just been unseasonably warm all winter long.
Yeah, we've had like barely any snow, like setting records for the lowest snowfall amounts this late in the winter.
Yeah, we have too, for sure. Well, hey, man, thanks for taking a minute out. I really appreciate it. And I want to dive in first and foremost with your new album, Six String Soul, 30 years on Delmark. And, you know, it's coming out now as this wave of COVID starts up again. We've been dealing with this since March of 2020. What does it mean to have a new album out, the potential to do live gigs with this as we move forward?
Well, I actually released an album, Blues from the Inside Out, in 2019, late 2019, and I had a number of tours and high-profile gigs planned for 2020, almost, which all got postponed or canceled. So it hit me harder back in 2020 than it did on this project, although, you know, it's still real sketchy booking shows now. I mean, it's looking better for the spring, for sure, and for the summer, but a lot of shows around Chicago have, a lot of clubs have shut down, a lot of shows have been postponed or canceled as well. So it's, you know, it's a very strange time, and a bit tenuous booking shows on the road, you know, not knowing what the situation's going to be with COVID.
You know, with that in mind, with everything shutting down, and it's just been a roller coaster ride, how have you been holding up and doing, you know, creatively and logistically getting through all of this to hopefully a better place this spring?
Yeah, it was, you know, really challenging early on. I was pretty down and wasn't finding a lot of inspiration to practice, you know, with no gigs. Was doing some live stream shows that I enjoyed. I helped curate a series for Chicago Blues Network. We did a series of about a dozen live streams with a lot of great artists on the Chicago blues scene, so I enjoyed that. I wrote a little, and it just felt so good to start playing again. It was, like the late summer, fall of 2021, where we hadn't played shows for like 16 months. And I just was, you know, it was just such a great feeling to be on stage again and playing for people. And then most of early 2022, especially, have another cup of coffee, Dave. the summer of 2021, a lot of good outdoor shows in Chicago. And, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, you know, especially in a place like Chicago where there's so much work, that when we don't play and when we're able to play again, I realized, you know, how great it feels, and, you know, and realized that you really can't take it for granted.
Well, and the people in the audience had to just be ecstatic. It had to be just electric in the air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was part of the joy, and part of the reward is just seeing how happy the audiences were and how much they missed it. And it made it even more special.
So looking at this situation as a glass half full, I know it's hard to do, but what did you learn about yourself over this time that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger now as we hopefully get to a better place as spring and summer emerges this year?
just from a playing perspective, I was pretty worried that I was not going to play so well after having such a long break. I don't know what happened. I mean, maybe it's because I've been playing for almost 40 years, but it all came back to me pretty quick, and my band and I had some really good nights. You know, I'm pretty hard on myself, self-critical, and I was surprised at how well things went musically after having such a long break. So I learned that I can still do it even after, you know, not gigging for over a year. You know, just again, I learned and was reminded about the power of playing in front of an audience, especially an enthusiastic audience. And speaking of taking it for granted, sometimes the audiences here in Chicago or blues clubs in generally, there's so much blues, there's so much music that people sometimes take it for granted. And when people don't hear it for a long period of time, you realize how special it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about how all this started out for you. Have you always been in Chicago?
Yeah, born and raised in the city. I've lived here my whole life, other than a few years in college at the University of Illinois down in Champaign.
So how did the blues become your life? How did all of this start for you on the guitar and the blues?
Sure. Growing up in a very musical family was key. My older brother is a blues harp player. He used to go see Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and Junior Wells and Coco Taylor, and this was in, you know, the early 70s, and I was just, 9 years younger than him, and he would come home and tell me stories, and I didn't know who any of these people were, but he put their records on, and my parents, who mostly loved classical music, but they also liked folk music a lot, and would listen to radio shows where they would sometimes play acoustic blues. And my dad was a huge fan of Studs Terkel. And Studs had a daily, a weekday interview show on WFMT, which is a classical radio station here. And he would interview Big Bill Brunzi and Sonny Terry. And I remember that was some of the first blues I ever heard. And it really, really made an impact on me. You know, I grew up with rock and roll mostly in my family. And when I heard Big Bill or Muddy, I was, you know, even as a kid, I was like shaken by it. I was moved at how powerful the music was. I mostly, you know, was into the Stones and the Allman Brothers and the Beatles and the Grateful Dead. And I started realizing that they were covering a lot of blues artists and artists that lived where I lived. So that got me interested in the music. And then I started playing guitar when I was about 18, pretty late, but I had developed a really good ear for music. I played piano as a kid. My mom was a classical pianist. So I got into blues guitar very soon after I started playing. Decided I wanted to become a professional musician, I think when I was about 20 years old. Moved back to Chicago and just immersed myself in the blues scene, and that's how it all started.
So what was the first live show that you actually saw that made you think, wow, this is amazing?
My dad took me to a theater in Niles, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, and it was called the Mill Run, and it was theater in the round. They had a revolving stage, and he took me to see B.B. King and Bobby Bland, and I was probably 11. That, you know, made my jaw drop in a big way. That's the first memory I have of seeing live blues. And then I got a fake ID probably when I was about 17 and started going to clubs in Chicago and seeing Junior Wells and Magic Slim and Otis Rush. And it was just, you know, it was awesome, you know, and I'd never seen anything like it, you know, other than that first experience. But, you know, it was different as I was a teenager, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I said to myself, I got to learn how to do this. This is what I want to do. I want to be up on stage with these guys. And a few years later, I was, you know, the rhythm guitar player in Sun Seal's band and playing with Hubert Sumlin and Sam Lay. So it all happened pretty quick.
Well, and you've gone all over the world, too. You know, when we think about this absence of music since early 2020, you know, What are you missing the most in regards to that? Has touring slowed down for you, or is this something that you're really excited to get back to get back to the world because you've traveled so much over the years?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best things about what we do is the travel and playing in Europe especially, and I've played in South America and Central America and Hawaii and Israel and a lot of amazing places, and that's, you know, a really special part of what we do. But, you know, I haven't been like a hardcore full-time touring musician. I've been based in Chicago, and there's a lot of work here, so I was able to, you know, make a living working around Chicago, going to Europe maybe an average of once or twice a year. And I had elderly parents who were both in poor health, and I was the only child in Chicago. My siblings live on the West Coast, so I kind of stayed here, was based here, and I helped take care of them for many years, so I wasn't really able to travel a lot. But I definitely have missed the travel and the stress-free travel. I mean, it's so, we just went to Switzerland in September, and with COVID, you know, like the week before we left, Switzerland was placed on the do not travel list. My doctor said, don't go. We went anyway, and it was just, you know, it just adds a lot of stress to the trip where you have to deal with the realities of COVID, especially on an airplane. And so I look forward to hopefully sometime soon where we don't have to worry about, you know, spreading a virus and wearing masks, and hopefully return to normalcy sometime in the not too distant future.
So what's it like to play for a president of the United States? Is it nerve-wracking? Is it exhilarating? How does that feel?
Yes and yes. So I got hired to play for Barack Obama when he was running for re-election. I think it was 2012. Yeah, it was 2012. And he had a fundraiser at the Chicago Cultural Center, which is a beautiful facility in downtown Chicago. They wanted a blues band to play the reception. It was, you know, it was thrilling, and I was definitely nervous. We got to meet him, and because we had a play, we were like everyone who was at the fundraiser obviously paid a lot of money and got to meet him and shake his hand and do photos. We got to meet him first because we had to perform. It was, you know, I'd never met a president. So it was a great experience. He was totally down to earth and engaging and interested in music, and very cool to meet him. Just an honor.
You know, every day you get to wake up, you get the chance to make music and perform it in front of a crowd. What's the best part of being a professional musician for you?
It's clearly just being able to share my music with other people and to kind of share what I've learned and what I know about this music with other people. It kind of, you know, I look at it as kind of a giving experience, because I know how much music people appreciate music, and hopefully they appreciate what I do. And just being on stage in front of people that are there to hear you play is something that I really treasure. I look at this as kind of a lifelong pursuit of a craft. One of the things that keeps me going after, you know, I've been playing professionally now for about 37 years, and I still see myself improving and growing and learning. You know, I'm almost 60 now, and I came up playing under a lot of older musicians, and I still play with people like Jimmy Johnson, who's 93, and I used to play with Pine Top Perkins, and, you know, I grew up playing under the elders. So I've seen in blues and jazz and even in rock and roll musicians that just keep going and never retire, play for the love of playing and for the love of sharing their musical gifts with an audience. So that's what it's all about to me.
Based on all the wisdom you've accumulated over all the years, if you have a dream tonight and you run into your younger self around the time that you were starting to play professionally, and you could give your younger self one piece of advice, and it's not about regret, it's about, you know, kind of giving your younger self wisdom, what would you tell your younger self?
Well, I just started singing a few years ago, you know, like over 30 years into my career. And I probably would have told young Dave to start singing when he was in his early 20s. It would have been, probably would have been better for my career. I've worked with a lot of great singers, and you can hear a lot of them on the Six String Soul double album. Having to rely on a singer a lot in my career has had been challenging. That would be a piece of advice I would have given myself and followed. I don't really have a lot of regrets. That's really the main one.
So everyone has a perception or an idea of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you have a perception of you. You live your life. Who do you think you are?
It's an interesting question that requires some reflection for sure. I'm a serious guitarist who is passionate about what I do, has really tried to develop my own voice in a world of blues that is that's pretty diverse. I think it's kind of dominated by the blues rock sound, and I definitely did not follow that path. And it's funny because a lot of people think I'm a jazz guitarist, which I am flattered by, but I definitely I love the early blues of B.B. King and T-Bone Walker and Gatemouth Brown and artists that kind of played with a bit more of a jazz sensibility. So I'm glad to have developed a style along those lines. I'm not sure if a lot of people get that, but that's okay. But yeah, I just, you know, I consider myself a pretty serious musician who's tried to find and created his own path in this crazy music business.
Indeed, amen. Dave, thanks for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest cats in jazz and blues in Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world. And thanks to Dave for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.